This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like strawberry lemonade and extra strength fan fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered, or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season! My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Night-night.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. Stay cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's go. What a sensation for you. We are live at Splash. Chase Center adjacent. The brand new sports bar experience is the best way that I can say it, with nachos all in the belly.
Oh, man.
They're good, right?
Delicious.
Fantastic. And, I mean, more TVs than I can even figure out. I mean, there's so many.
Take a half hour to count all these screens up.
Oh, my God. And on a day like today, with a million basketball games going on at once, it is sensory overload.
There might not be a better spot in the city to be today than right here.
No joke. And a lot of people agree, because the place is filling up, and it's sensory overload in the best way. And so that's where we are. With Grandy in for Dibs, it's Willard and Dibs, and glad you're with us on 95.7 The Game, as we also get ready for the arena right outside to be lit up and alive again tonight with the Toronto Raptors in town and Steph Curry back on the floor.
Another huge basketball game. How many home games are left? There's only like 5 home games
They're
left.
All big.
And
They're
there's
all
still
big.
At this point, Willard, there's still no guarantee they're going to have a play-in or a postseason home game.
But last night helped, didn't it?
It did.
Ooh, that
Thank
felt,
you, Zion.
That felt like a Manhattan at 8:30 at night.
Zion.
For I didn't even know. I already told you, like, last night was one of those nights, just family stuff going on, things going on, the Warriors finally not playing, so I'm like, I left everything I needed to get done for last night, and all of a sudden I looked up and I wanted to go to bed, and I hadn't filled out a bracket yet, and nobody had told me that the Pelicans had beaten the Wolves.
119-115.
I was like, wait a minute, what?
Yep.
And the
Nuggets also lost, too.
Yes, they did. And
although it was to the Lakers.
And they again sat their guys.
Yeah.
And now the Lakers are sitting their guys tonight against the Milwaukee Bucks. No Luka Doncic in the game tonight. So,
and the Grizzlies also lost yesterday.
Yeah.
And the Rockets won. And real quickly, as we take a look at the Western standings, you might be rooting for the Rockets to get a few more wins down the stretch,
might,
because
well,
there's a real chance they could be the 3 and you could be the 6. And I think that would be the dream first round matchup for the Warriors.
I think it'd be great, but if the Rockets keep winning, they're going to get the 2. They're in the 2 hole right now. They're a game clear of the Lakers and the Nuggets. We'll see where it goes, but you know what? You got to give the Houston Rockets, with their young team, they play their guys. Nobody. I'm not getting any underdog notifications before Rockets
game. Alperen Şengün will not
Şengün
play.
Şengün or Jalen Green sitting out, but with the Lakers and the Nuggets, I mean, and the Clippers, it's every single night that they're sitting somebody out. So in the end, the Warriors sat last night. Steve Kerr informed us that Steph Curry will play tonight, and what they watched happen on the scoreboard was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good night for them.
And this is officially the 5th to last home game of the year, of the regular season for the Warriors. Crazy that we're already at that point. But yeah, now a full game up on Minnesota, who's down actually to the 8 as the day opens, because they're tied with the Clippers, and the Clippers currently have, I guess by percentage points. The Clippers are ahead of them. But you also have the tiebreak on the T-Wolves, so you're essentially 2 full games ahead of Minnesota. If you finish tied with them, you would be ahead of them in the standings, but the Clippers are suddenly red hot. Kawhi's back, and Kawhi's playing great. So maybe the team that you should be looking out for, perhaps more than the T-Wolves, is the Clippers, because the Clippers have the tiebreak on you.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, this it changes every single night, exactly who you're worried about and what kind of mathematical
equation. It's impossible
equation
to figure out what's best
you
at
want,
this point.
Just go win. Just go. Yeah. We're certainly still in that spot. And so the Warriors have absolutely no wiggle room to lose that basketball game tonight. And that'll tip off right here on 95.7 The Game in a little bit less than 5 hours. We'll be with you most of the way leading up to that. And we are at Splash. We got a chance to meet our good friend Dante, who was the winner of the best seat in the house contest that
Shout
we
out
ran.
Dante. Brought his wife.
Dante.
For a date night. Or date afternoon.
Date day. Do whatever. They've got 2 little kids at home. He grabbed his wife, found child care, and came to Splash for the entire day. I was like, and there he is. Dante, we're talking about you right now. Congrats, man. Enjoy the day. There they are. And I was like, dude, I flashed back to when the kids were that young. And I'm thinking,
how rare it is to get a day off like that in the city.
This isn't the best seat in the house. This is the best day of his life. This is unbelievable. No kids and a full day at Splash. So congratulations to Dante. But yeah, vibes are up here tonight as we're watching the college hoop and getting ready for the Warriors game. And let me ask you this, and we'll throw it out to our listeners as well. We're just talking about the power structure within the Warrior locker room. And we had Steve Kerr on yesterday. We'll play it for you in a little bit, where he spoke about Jimmy Butler being the ultimate alpha. I wonder if we asked it this way, like, come playoff time, who do you want to be the voice in the room for the Warriors?
Are you talking about the voice for, like, the others?
For the Warriors.
For the youngsters?
Who takes that lead dog role? You have a future Hall of Famer who's held that role for over a decade, but a brand new guy whose nickname is Playoff. That's his nickname. And he has arrived and clearly changed the Warriors markedly.
Well, I think it's an interesting question, because I think that, like, from the outside looking at the Warriors, we just view Draymond as the guy that's filled that role. And it, when you're talking about on court or, like, in the public or to the media, it has generally been Draymond. Mm-hmm. But I think if you were to ask anybody, like, behind the scenes, what it's like in locker rooms and in, you know, the moments where cameras and mics aren't there, I think Steph Curry fills a lot of that still.
Well, I...
I mean,
to a degree,
the one moment we always point to was before Game 7 against Sacramento two years ago, and he said, if you don't want to play the way we're asking you to play, don't get on the bus and don't come to Sac with us.
But remember, that also happened after, apparently, a late-night text message from Steph Curry to Draymond Green that said, I got this one, which doesn't happen often.
True.
Doesn't happen often, and that was a very special circumstance of we're about to go on the road for a Game 7. We just got embarrassed on our own floor. That whole thing, that situation could absolutely happen again, and so there's no question that Steph Curry would carry more weight in that locker room than anyone, but he usually chooses to sort of lead in a different way, and I'm not poo-pooing that kind of leadership at all. It's imperative. He's the best. He's the guy. He's the one. He's the MVP. He's all of those things, but I wonder right now, with everything that Draymond Green has been and has been through, both good and bad with the Warriors, and now Jimmy walking in, and Jimmy's just walking on flowers, because we've had absolutely no time and no experience with him that's been bad.
Yeah.
So therefore, Jimmy simply looks perfect. Whatever he says is perfect. Whatever he does is perfect. His record with the Warriors is almost perfect. So when Buddy Hield goes the wrong way, who do you want to talk to him?
Is it a problem if two people talk to him?
I guess not. And then, no, but I do believe that there needs to be, and just organically always is, sort of a power structure. I think, and I don't even just mean this in terms of words. It's rotations. It's everything. When you get to the playoffs, you want to know exactly who is supposed to do what and when.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, I think by default it's going to be Draymond, and we've spent so much time talking about Draymond's past transgressions, and we don't need to go down that rabbit hole again. But, I mean, the way that he's playing right now, I mean, he's backing it up himself, and I think with how he's playing, he therefore comes along with it, the respect that he gets in the locker room. And Jimmy Butler's playing great as well. Not that he doesn't deserve to have a say in some things, but, I mean, he is the new guy, and maybe this will make me sound foolish in the future, but I don't necessarily think Jimmy's going to get to a moment where he's like, oh my God, Draymond isn't holding these dudes accountable enough. I need to step in and become the new leader of this locker room. Like, I think they can work in tandem, and I think Jimmy knows enough about the relationship that Draymond has with this group that he's not going to overstep in those moments. Like, it might get to a point where I don't think it's ever going to get here, because Draymond is Draymond, and Draymond won't let something like that go unchecked. But if it does go unchecked, I think Jimmy's also comfortable enough to try to figure it out himself. But Draymond's not going to let it get to that point in the first place.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I guess this is more, and there's no, like, worry being expressed here. None of this concerns me at all. I do have full faith in these guys to, quote, figure it out, as they've said they need to. But the way Steve spoke about this to us yesterday, and he referred to Jimmy Butler as the ultimate alpha.
He literally brought up Michael Jordan.
Correct.
When talking about Jimmy Butler.
I asked him, do you have alpha rankings in the NBA, and is Jimmy number one? And he had to go back to Michael Jordan to find someone that he felt was a bigger alpha than Jimmy Butler.
He said, I know Jimmy feels that way.
So
just like MJ did.
If you're Jimmy and you feel you're the ultimate alpha, and your nickname is Playoff Jimmy, and you're telling the media, I'll know when it's time for me to have a big game and when it's time for me to take over, then that is all pushing the narrative and the idea that when you get to the playoffs, there's going to be some sort of new level that you're going to hit, and that's wonderful. That's great. I hope Jimmy takes over as many games as possible, but I'm very curious to see how this all sort of shakes out in terms of the roles that everybody gets into, especially when the stress goes up.
Yeah.
Because the ask is about to be a lot bigger.
I hear you. I think it would be different if, say, the Warriors were like the one seed and were the by far the favorites to win it. And if they get down 2-1 in the first round, and suddenly it's like, uh-oh, like, okay, these are the champs. This is the team that's expected to win it all, and they're on the ropes early. I think that situation would lead to something a little bit more immediately combustible. But this is a team, I know internally they feel like they can win it, and they've said as much, even though Steph last week with Stani and Gu, that great interview from Chase, essentially saying, yeah, we feel like we have a shot, but we're so far away from that still. They feel that way inside their locker room, but I think it's a little different when you have the burden of those outside expectations. And for the most part, I don't think there's a lot of people out there who are predicting the Warriors to go to the finals.
No.
A lot of us fans feel like it's possible.
Sure.
Certainly
sure.
Possible.
Puncher's chance type of a thing.
But like in your example, like Buddy Hield runs the wrong way or takes a dumb shot with 20 seconds on the shot clock, two hands in his face, and there's Steph Curry wide open on the right wing. Like, that's a simple Draymond or Jimmy or whoever's on the floor to say, hey, buddy, come on, man.
Right.
And that's just, you say it, you get it over with, and you move on.
I mean, this is Look, I think these guys have done, obviously, a wonderful job blending quickly together. I would foresee this going largely well in terms of just the way that they all kind of respect one another and the way they're going to maneuver through this whole thing, whether it goes good or bad. But what an interesting comment. Quote, the ultimate alpha. And what went through my head is, like, do you believe that an alpha can become not an alpha, even temporarily? Like, does an alpha ever feel comfortable not taking that lead role?
I think I just have a problem with the connotation of alpha. I feel like we think of it as somewhat of a negative. Like, there's this, he's so big-headed, and he's so, like, do things my way or I'm going to get upset. In my mind, Jimmy's an alpha because all he cares about is trying to win basketball games. And if that means he's going to piss somebody off in the process, or he's going
to,
or if he's going to call somebody out because they're not doing their fair share, that's a good thing.
No,
I want that.
I'm with you. I don't think anything negative about alpha at all. I just wonder whether or not alpha can stop being alpha for a second, or how many alphas are you able to have in the room.
Jimmy, I don't think I ever want an alpha to stop being an alpha.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, Jimmy Butler has never gone to the playoffs and not been the dude. Like, we're looking to you, man. And is this
Embiid the one time, I guess.
Are you ever looking to Joel Embiid? Do you know what I mean? Like, and that's part of why sometimes I think in his past is it hasn't worked, is because they're looking to people who aren't able to do what he's able to do. Anyway, something for you to chew on and weigh in on for sure. We'd love to take your calls. 888-957-9570 is the number. This hour is brought to you by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. We may well be bringing on some good stuff, maybe. It was our good friend Rob Parker with Fox Sports Radio who said that Steph Curry is not the best shooter of all time. And Rob does this stuff. but I think it's fun to make fun of him, and I think that he might be willing to come on and do that with us next hour. So I think we're going to talk to Rob here in a little bit. But until then, let's hear from you, Warrior fans. Where are you on all of this? The locker room setting for the Warriors as they get ready for another game tonight. Grandy is in for Dibs. Dibs is drinking somewhere in Vegas. This is Willard and Dibs.
Bay Area, it's Brandon Pajemski. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
And thank you for coming on yesterday. I was just putting my underdog picks in.
Oh!
Yeah. Jonathan Kuminga's one of them.
You going over? Higher? Lower?
We're going higher.
Okay.
14.5 points.
Okay.
I expect this one to be on cruise control in the fourth quarter. And Steve, to give Jonathan a couple extra minutes. Keep getting those legs underneath you, boy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Needs it.
Yeah.
I mean, he only played 3 minutes in the fourth quarter on Tuesday.
Yep. I expect this one to be under control.
And that's what Steve told you and Dibs yesterday when I think it was Dibs that asked him about Kuminga not closing the game on Tuesday. And he essentially said, I mean, he didn't say it in these words, but essentially the answer was, if JK's not playing well, doesn't deserve to close, he's not going to close,
yeah.
Which he shouldn't. No one should.
I mean, Steve Kerr has been very, very clear that this whole Jonathan Kuminga return or any other subject for that matter, nothing is going to get in the way of attempting to win the basketball game. And if anybody on any given night looks like they're not quite up to par, you get less.
It's a classic like Warriors content machine moment because the Warriors are so good at this. It doesn't matter what's going on. They are always like the main topic, especially for us, but around the NBA as well, even if they're not playing great basketball. Like they were the number one topic around the league before the trade deadline.
Yep,
when they
sure
hadn't
were.
Been playing well. It's just so fitting that it was Kuminga who was injured and it's Kuminga coming back, because if it was, I mean, even if it was Pajemski or if it was Moody, like it wouldn't be nearly as big of a deal, because Moody has a contract extension and he's here for a while, and Kuminga has always been this hot button topic, and he deserves more minutes, he deserves more run, how's he going to play when he comes back? If it was anybody else on this roster, maybe other than the big three, the veterans, that were dealing with a 2 month long injury, it wouldn't be as big of a deal. But it's the Warriors, it's going to be a big story, so of course it's Kuminga.
It's kind of a funny way to look at it. It's a little bit cynical, I get it, and it's just kind of like a joke, but at the same time, if you do step back, if you just left your fandom in the trash for a day and you look at the Golden State Warriors, as you just said, a content machine.
Yep.
They are an entertainment entity. And if you just looked at them through that lens, forget winning, forget losing, and forget your care. Just the idea of, are you doing things in an interesting way with interesting people? They've kind of been perfect for 15 years.
Yeah, or you just have a writer in a back room in Hollywood somewhere saying, how could we spice this up a little bit?
I'm telling
you. Let's give their young rising star who's searching for a contract extension a two-month injury, and when he comes back, the team is playing basketball where they simply can't lose.
I can't believe you're saying this, because my lovely Christy does this every year, because she's not like us. She's not like, oh, Warriors, get gonna win. Gonna win. We're gonna win. We're gonna win a title. She's like, I think Draymond throws a barbecue before every season, and they sit down and they come up with the storylines. I'm gonna get suspended in January. You're gonna get hurt. We're gonna have a lot of rumors. Then we're gonna trade for a big name. Let's find a big personality. Big personalities got some history. Maybe he's mad at his team.
Steph, I'm gonna get ejected one game, and you're gonna cry on the court.
Yeah. How about one day if Steph just starts throwing the ball all over the place for no reason, and then they get in the locker room and go, you can't play tomorrow night. You need a break. You're not good anymore. Like, if you look at it that way, it's just kind of fun. The Warriors are perfect.
Oh, yeah.
They are, and that's why, as you said, like, they've literally joined the Lakers. Have you noticed this? I think we slept on this. Last couple years, the Warriors are neck and neck with the Lakers in terms of the way the National Basketball Association media looks to them and talks about them as a content machine.
Yep, yep.
They're neck and neck.
And guess what? If they lose in the first round, they're going to be the talk of the offseason.
For sure they will.
No matter what.
By the way, if they lose in the first round, this is why my big question for the NBA would be...
if they lose in the play-in.
Well, I mean, Bob Fitzgerald joined us last week and said, I don't want to face the Lakers because of the way they get officiated. Mm. I want to know... I don't get mad at that. I want to know why the Warriors aren't officiated the same way. If they're neck and neck as a content creator, help them out!
A lot of it is, and this, honestly, this is a whole nother rabbit hole, and I could talk about it for hours. And
do it.
We don't need to do all that today. It's partly why I respect the Warriors so much. Jimmy Butler changed it a little bit, but the Warriors have never been a team, and this is specifically Steph because he's the torchbearer and he's the ball handler and he takes all the publicity. He has never been the player, and the Warriors have never been the team that try to, for lack of a better term, foul bait, try to trick officials.
Yeah, yeah.
They've never been that team.
They don't have any head snappers.
They've never been that team. And honestly, it's like a compliment that they haven't been that team because it's bad basketball. It's hard to watch. It's why there's so many fans out there who are kind of turned off by the idea that Shea is going to win the MVP because it's the NBA almost encouraging that kind of play. And it's effective. It's what James Harden did. And that James Harden team came damn close to beating the Warriors in the playoffs a couple of times. It's an entirely different style of basketball. And like from a strategic standpoint, it's entirely different. And it's nowhere near as fun to watch. So I appreciate the Warriors that they haven't really ever like committed to doing that because it is something that you actively decide to do.
No doubt.
If you're a player. And honestly, it's a skill. James Harden is amazing at it. Shea is amazing at it. It also takes a little bit out of you physically because you have to be willing to fall to the ground, to take contact, and to accentuate it. And Steph, for the most part, has kind of decided, not for me. Like, he'll do it at times, but he doesn't do it to the level that others do. So I get, like, the Warriors don't get the whistle that some of the other, like, content machine teams do. I think part of it has kind of been conditioned, though, because they have never been the team that actively seeks that out in the first place.
No doubt. All right, Grandy's got an interesting take on where the Warriors sit in the Western Conference with regard to one specific angle. We'll get to that in a sec. Always here for your calls. Grandy in for Dibs. March Madness is here, which means Dibs goes into some sort of an where in the world is Carmen Sandiego thing, and I know that's over the heads of some of our listeners, so I apologize for that. I've been here for a minute. But anyway, let's go to Don in Hayward. Hi, Don. Appreciate your call. Don!
Hey, John, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what's up?
First of all, the ideal matchup, you know, you said earlier was the Rockets. I mean, Alperen Şengün is a much better player at this stage of his career than Triple J. And if it was a one-game, you know, NCAA-style tournament, then I would say, yeah, you know, Memphis would be a bad matchup because, you know, Ja Morant can just knock you out like he did a couple of years ago in the play-in. But, you know, I think the Memphis Grizzlies are the ideal matchup, and we need to hope that they can get the third seed.
I don't disagree with that, but at the same time, there's two things there. One, sounds like you've got a little bit more confidence in Houston than I do. It's not that I don't think Houston's good. I just think that matchup, there's so much in terms of things and little tricks that the Warriors will know that Houston won't. And yes, I'm not above saying it. The league will want the Warriors to win that series. There's no question about that. But as far as Memphis getting the three, I just don't see it. I don't think they're good enough to rise up above this group and end up as the three, especially how injured they are with Jaren Jackson Jr. out.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Memphis does have, they're more battle-tested in that regard. Houston specifically, I think the Warriors also have, you mentioned like all the tricks that they have. I think you're talking about postseason experience.
For sure.
And that's part of it. I think the Warriors also have like the mental edge over the Rockets because they, and I know a lot of those players weren't, and all of those players weren't there for those past Warriors-Rockets postseason battles. But when you're a fan of the Rockets franchise or you're a player, you know the history, and you know that like the Warriors just have ownage over you. It's like Crook and Kipe talking on a baseball broadcast.
There you go.
Oh, that, there's a double by Chapman. He's just got ownage on that pitcher. The Warriors just have ownage over the Rockets. It's kind of like the Nuggets have ownage over the Warriors. The Nuggets have won 9 in a row against the Warriors. I think the Rockets won earlier this year in that one-point game in the play-in in Houston, like 91-90 or whatever it was. The Warriors choked that game away down the stretch, and that snapped like a 14-game winning streak or whatever it was for the Warriors versus Houston. So you get into a postseason series, and say the Warriors go into Houston and win game one, everyone in Houston's thinking, oh no, they're going to do this again,
well,
aren't they?
And I literally couldn't even envision the Warriors going to Memphis or Houston and not at least getting a split.
One or two.
Like, I can't even envision those teams beating the Warriors twice in a row to start it. I can't.
The Warriors have the edge over Memphis in the season series. I believe it's 2-1, but if you look at those games, I don't think Ja played in either of the games the Warriors won. They had some injuries, and the one where Ja did, if you remember, it was in Memphis. Schroeder's debut game, yep. And the Warriors were down by like 40 at halftime.
Well, the Warriors, that was like, to me, that was the poster game for them just being out of sorts and out of sync.
Yeah.
So, you know, timing is everything. The playoffs would be a different animal as a whole. I'll put it to you this way. We can get into a conversation of Memphis or Houston. I'd be thrilled with either one.
Yes, but I'd be thrilled with either one.
Yes, yes, I'd be thrilled with either one. So, to that end, and by the way, just updating where we sit today for those of you who don't stare at this all day like we do, Houston is sitting in the 2 seed with a 1-game lead on both the Lakers and the Nuggets. The Lakers the 3, the Nuggets the 4. Memphis then another game back is the 5, and the Warriors another 2.5 back are the 6, and they are 1 clear of the Clippers, and then Minnesota the 8. Do you remember last year when we joked, good Lord, the Warriors won 46 games and somehow ended up in the play-in tournament, and how many people with the Warriors are like, that never happens, like 46 wins, you're usually the 3 or the 4 seed. You're going to win 50 games this year and potentially still be in the play-in.
Yeah, they're 40-29, 13 games left.
The Clippers have 39 wins, the T-Wolves have 40, the Warriors have 40. Those
T-Wolves
are the 6, 7, 8, and we still have double-digit games to go.
T-Wolves have 11 left, both the Warriors and the Clippers have 13 left. The T-Wolves have played 2 more. It's important to note the Warriors are 2 up in the loss column. That's a big number.
That's big.
Huge number, because the T-Wolves, obviously, you can't lose any fewer games than you've already lost. The Warriors would have to lose. The Warriors have to lose 3 of their final 13 games just for Minnesota to have a chance to pass them.
I'd bring it up, though, because if they did 46 wins again this year,
you're
going to not only be in the play-in, you're going to be on the road.
That would mean the Warriors would be 6-7 in their final 13 if they only win 46.
Correct.
They're winning at the very least 8.
Yeah.
Probably 9, maybe 10.
I would, yes. Assuming that
health.
Nothing bad happens. But as we're talking out this grouping, what was the thing you wanted to say with regard to the Warriors and their standing in that group?
Yeah, I woke up this morning you just said it, we're staring at these standings 24/7, and I woke up this morning thinking about like who these teams are today and who they might be a month from now when the postseason starts, and I came to this realization, Willard, and I think the Warriors among the potential Western Conference playoff teams, I think the Warriors have the most room for growth in terms of who they are in this instant or who they've proven to be throughout the course of the season and who they can be when the postseason comes around. And there's a few reasons why. Number one is Jonathan Kuminga's only been back for 4 games after 2 months off.
Okay,
Even if he doesn't like fit in perfectly and he's not playing like a superstar role player, like no matter what, he's going to be better than he is now just for the sake of playing more consistent basketball. He's going to be better.
Yep.
I also think while Tuesday was as playoff Jimmy as we've seen Jimmy be as a Warrior, he has another gear that he can get to. He still does not look confident at all in his shot. He takes it very hesitantly. There will come a moment where he's more in rhythm as a jump shooter, and again, you get him in those postseason environments, and he just reaches another level. I want to ask Steve Kerr this. Unfortunately, I'll be on the air here today, so I can't make his pregame presser, but if I was, I would ask Steve, do you think he has another gear that he can get to, other than which is what we saw on Tuesday? Because I think, no doubt, he can't. That's reason number two.
Not to interrupt, but do we need to introduce a new portion of the Steve Kerr interview every week, which is Grandy's one big question?
Well, you know,
you could enter into that. Like, you could have asked Steve. We had him on our show yesterday.
You know, Luke and I help you guys with questions for Coach Kerr.
I don't know what you're talking about. I think of all of those on my own.
And I put on there yesterday that question about there being another level that Jimmy can reach. But you guys did a great interview. It was 20 minutes, which is our general time with him, and there was nothing that was willing to, that you should have taken out. Just we didn't have enough time. There's so many things to ask him about.
Yep.
But I think there's another level that Jimmy can get to, and we haven't seen it yet. We definitely haven't seen it on a consistent level. So that's reason two. And then the third one for me, Willard, and this is what we're talking about with the standings. If you avoid the play-in, you have a week off leading to your first-round series.
This is huge.
There is no one in the NBA that week off will benefit more than the Warriors.
I agree with
that.
No
one in the entire NBA.
Maybe the Clippers. Their players don't play basketball. Maybe the Lakers. Their players.
LeBron will be back. I mean, they got LeBron, who's 40, but they've got a lot of young dudes they count on beyond him.
It's true.
The Warriors' three most important players are 35 or older.
I can't argue with you. You know what I mean? Like, I look at these Western Conference playoffs as you're either on this side or that side. And let's take the top eight teams. I think there's four of each. There's four teams who have never really achieved much. They've got youth on their side. And if you're healthy, you play. And you just press the gas. And especially come playoff time. That's Oklahoma City. I know they rested their guys actually last night. Still won by 33 points. That's how deep they
12 and a half game edge.
Right, exactly. So they're in a little bit of a different bucket, but I'm still going to put them on this side where they're young, they're short on achievement, and they're high on effort.
And the Cavs have now lost 3 games in a row, oddly enough. So if there was an OKC-Cleveland finals matchup, OKC currently would have home court.
So OKC is one, Houston is two, Memphis is three, Minnesota is four. Those teams are
pedal
young.
To the metal.
They are pedal to the metal, and they have not achieved a whole lot. I know Minnesota went on a nice run last year. Memphis has done some things, but these teams have not gone to the big stage. And then there's four teams who are the exact opposite. That's the Lakers, the Nuggets, the Warriors, and the Clippers. Each of those teams has at least one player who's won a ring. They have veteran leadership. They have know-how. They have we've been there. And at times, in a frustrating way, similar to what happened to me 2 days ago when I got frustrated by it, they will stay calm, put their feet up, and have a cigar at a time when it feels like, dude, you have got to go win. Like, the Lakers, last night, they get a bunny because Denver sits their people, so they win. And how are they going to react with Giannis coming to town tonight? Luka's out! He's sitting! And I'm like, how can you do that? Like, you're sitting here staring at potentially the 2 seed, and LeBron's not playing, and the Lakers are just like, yeah, dog, whatever. We'll figure it out. And so that's what's intriguing to me, is when those two styles all meet here in a few weeks, what is going to show as the right way to have conducted yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I hear you, but I also think the Warriors are a team, even though they are as veteran as you come. I mean, we made such a big deal over Steph resting, and it was a big deal. The Warriors have gone pretty pedal to the metal of late, too. Steph had played in the last 22 games.
Fair point.
Now, they are the example of the team that was in major danger and needed to put the pedal to the metal to just be in the situation they are now, which is still kind of danger because you're on the edge of the six versus being in the play-in. But they're the team that has kind of been forced to, by circumstances, play like a younger team and just say, you know what, screw the rest. We're going to go after this because we have to. The Lakers, yeah, they've lost a few games and LeBron is out. They still have a built-in leeway where they can take it easy. Denver is interesting because Denver, while they have won a championship, not like they've got any incredibly old guys that need a lot of time off. The Clippers are certainly in that spot, much like the Warriors and the Lakers are, but I don't know. I don't think of this Warrior team as a team that's holding anything back and hoping that that results to them being fresher in the postseason. They're a team that's playing as hard as they possibly can right now to win as many possible games, so they set themselves up for success in the postseason.
For the most part, and you're right. I mean, that's obviously that's a function, I think, of two things, which is how far down they were in the standings, number one, and the fact that they've rebooted their team with a new player who plays a lot of minutes, and I think they need to figure that out. They need to play as much together as possible, which actually is my question about the Lakers. And when you say that the Warriors are the team that has the most room for growth with this whole thing, I mean, I wonder more about teams like what we were just talking about, Memphis and Houston, because they are literally still growing, especially Houston. And I look at a team like Minnesota, who I still feel should be better. Like, I just don't understand why the Timberwolves, based on that roster, are not better. But if we're going to go to the veteran teams, I kind of look to the Lakers, because in a relative sense, when you look at these two huge names they have on their team, I'd have to go back and look at how many games they've actually played together. I think you could do it on one hand. I think you can do it on one hand. And to me, as brilliant as LeBron and Luka are, that threatens them when they get into the playoffs if the two of them don't have that chemistry that the other stars in the West do.
Yeah, I think it's kind of similar to Steph. LeBron's superpower, though, is just like immediately fitting with anybody.
That's true.
Even with LeBron, the more reps you get, the better you're going to be. So I hear you there. But like, just in terms of, and you say the same exact thing about the Warriors. That wasn't even one of the reasons that I brought up. The more they play with Jimmy, you think the better that it's going to work. I just think the Warriors are in a spot where we always want to be peaking at the right moment, and I think the Warriors are in a prime position to feel like once the postseason comes around, where they look at who they are as a basketball team and they say, we have never played as well as we're playing right now all season. And you could say that about, say, the Rockets, who closed they've won eight in a row, and say they continue that up for the rest of the regular season, and you could say, well, they are playing their best basketball better than they've played all year, and that might be true. The Warriors have that as a realistic pathway for them to the postseason, and then they have all the other things. Kuminga coming, rounding back into form, playoff Jimmy turning it on, and then you have the added week off, which I know would help LeBron, and it would probably help Jokic, and it would help everybody. It's not going to harm anybody, but considering what Steph is dealing with and what Draymond's saying, they're all exhausted. That extra week off, if they avoid the play-in, it's going to help them more than anybody else. And you get that. Remember what happened before the 2022 postseason? Steph missed the last five games or whatever it was.
Yeah, it was at least that.
At least, and they won their last five. He might have missed like the last 10. They had won the last five, but Steph got to rest leading up to it with what turned out to be a relatively minor injury, and then Steph came back and had the postseason run that we remember. He was amazing all the way through the finals in Boston, Game 4 in Boston, and Game 6 in Boston. I think the Warriors, if they get that 6 or higher seed, they're going to be in a spot where they feel, one, as confident as ever, considering the way in which they close the regular season, because if you are a top 6 seed, you're going to have to play well to do that, and then they're going to feel as good physically as they have perhaps since the All-Star break.
All right, what if I threw this at you, and we can go here next? There's something something we want you to hear from Steve Kerr yesterday. What if the alpha in the room for the Warriors is not Draymond Green and it's not Jimmy Butler?
Oh.
What if it's somebody else?
Where are you going here?
I'll tell you exactly where I'm going. Coming up next, we're going to play something for you that we really think you need to hear from Steve Kerr on the conversation we had with him yesterday. We're sponsored by Inn at the Tides. Experience the wonder of Bodega Bay at the iconic Inn at the Tides. We were there last year. It's beautiful. Enjoy a walk on Doran Beach and take a dip in the heated pool. Special midweek rate started just $1.99 per night. Now through May 1st, breakfast included. Book your escape at innatthetides.com. And we're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. We're here at Splash, just outside Chase Center, watching all of the madness. Grandy is in for Dibs. This is Willard and Dibs.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.